So without any more talking, I think I'll just announce Mick Maloney, Liz Carroll, and Billy McComiskey. Let's give them a big hand.
Everybody, and I must say it's great for us all to be back in Elkins, one of the great cultural metropolises of West Virginia. And we've always enjoyed ourselves here, and have a feeling we're going to enjoy ourselves again this week. And it's probably self-evident to us who. I'm Mick Maloney, that's Bill McComiskey, Liz Carroll. And we're going to start off with a couple of reels called the copper plate reels. There was an old copper plate and then a new copper plate came along. And somebody got the idea of sticking them together. Here they are. By God.
Turn this down, you can turn both of these to half. One, two. No, down, not up, down. You can turn them off, I can still blow you away with this here.
Thank you.
We're going to continue now with a couple of jigs, and you know, neither myself nor Billy knows the names of the jigs. Maybe Liz does. Professor Carroll here from Chicago might be able to enlighten us. But there are two jigs that myself and Bill anyway learned from a great accordion player from New York called Sean McGlynn, I should say more accurately. He's from New York, or from Galway via New York, because he learned his music in the eastern part of Galway, where accordion players of great talent have been the rule rather than the exceptions for many is the long day. And I think he calls them Riley's jigs because I think he learned them from somebody else who didn't know their name either. And this Riley character lived probably back around 1770, and everyone's been calling them Rileys ever since. Anyway, two jigs. Yeah? Okay.
It's good too. You'd want to be able to hear it.
Thank you.
Can you hear everything now? Okay, great. It's what? I can't hear you. Is it really? You ought to be glad. I'm going to sing a song from the north of Ireland, from the County Armagh, called The Hills, or sometimes The Fields of Grain Moor. And it's a song about hunting. And as you well know, there's at least one kind of hunting that is common to most parts of the rich portions of England and the aristocracy, the establishment of Irish life in time. Emulated the English aristocracy, and usually it wasn't the bowel peasantry who were involved, it was fellows who were well-heeled and their ladies. And the whole pursuit, as you well know, again, involved pursuing an innocent fox dressed up in very flashy and somewhat ridiculous regalia mounted on thoroughbred horses. Well, there's another kind of hunting altogether, and that involves ordinary folks of the land like yourselves and ourselves here, who would dress up in whatever happened to be around that wasn't worth anything, and they'd pursue a motley collection of hounds, dogs, mongrel dogs of all varieties and hues, after whatever was willing to be chased across the grassy sward of the Emerald Isle. And they rarely caught anything. The whole thing was an elaborate charade, an excuse to work up a good thirst so you could go courting in the local bar afterwards. And I sing of such an event in the hills of Granmore because it was that kind of event. And the hare didn't even get caught either. One fine summer's morning, my horn I did blow, to the green fields of Cady for a hunt I did go. We gather the dogs and we circled around, for none love the sport better than the boys of Maydown. And when we arrived, they were all standing there. We went into the fields, boys, to hunt for the hare. We hadn't gone far when someone gave a cheer. Over high hills and valleys the wee puss did steer. As they flew o'er the valleys, 'twas a beautiful sight. There were hounds black and yellow, there were hounds black and white. She took the top bank for to try them some more. Oh, it was our last look at the hills of Grainmore. On the field of wheat stubble the wee puss did lie, and Rover and Charger they did pass her by. And there where she stood at the top of the brae, oh, I heard the last words that this wee puss did say. No more through the green fields of Cady I'll run, or skip through the fields, boys, for sport or for fun, or hear the loud horn that Pat Toner does play, or go home to my den at the clear break of day. I blame old MacMahon for bringing Coyle here. He's been at this old caper for many's the year. On Saturdays or Sundays he never gives o'er, with his pack of strange dogs round the hills of Grainmore. But the hare turned back and she took the high ground, and try though we could, boys, she couldn't be found. She skipped through the meadows where she'd oft run before, and she found a new home far away from Grainmore. Thank you. We're going to play a couple of reels now. The first is called The Sailor on the Rock. Mind you, if you look in the great collection that the police chief of Chicago, Francis O'Neill, made back around the turn of the century. He was a great character altogether, by the way. He made sure, after he became police commissioner of Chicago, that anybody who could play a fiddle or a flute from any part of Ireland would be welcome as an officer of the force. And he kept the music alive in Chicago for a long time as a result. But in any case, if you look in his book, you'll find the same reel called Johnny with the Queer Thing, whatever that might have been. And we're going to follow it with a reel called Tear the Calico.
Thank you.
song from the north of Ireland again. You know, it's funny how many great songs have been composed over time in the north of Ireland, and a lot of them have variants over in Scotland and the north of England, because, you know, the populations moved between those parts quite a lot, from one side to the other and back again, over the last few hundred years. So I love the old songs from up there, even though I haven't travelled widely up there. They seem to have a lot of universal themes, you know, that makes it possible for anybody really to sing them. This song is in the age-old tradition of concealing the more intimate details of the boy meets girl situation which develops in the pastures of Fermanagh, in concealing it in a web of rustic symbolism. It's very tasteful. You could sing it to your grandmother or your grandfather or anybody for that matter. Not even the most fundamental Southern Baptist could find anything to object to in this song. And yet, I mean, it's about the real thing, you know. There's no messing about. But when you find fellas taking out fiddles and bows and fellas larks flying up into the air and coming back with the dew on their wings, you know there's something up, by God.